There are two lessons are two areas that we can learn, not just from Daniel himself, but from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it surrounds worship. Remember, the lesson this morning and part of last week is that so much of our spiritual life, so much of the divine measurement used to estimate how we stand with God, it surrounds worship. The lesson this morning, where I tried to tabulate the life of men like Abraham and other characters, what would have you would have noticed is how much the Almighty God sought a target on their worship life, their worship activity, how much it was used to judge, to estimate, and to measure the person. It's no less so with us. Worshiping the Almighty God plays a much more important part in our relationship with God than probably we expect. Daniel joined the catalog of characters in whom it was demonstrated that worship to God is, I don't want to term it a determining factor. It is one of the most determining factors that the Almighty God used and that we have seen in Daniel. Let us notice chapter 6. In fact, as I've said, let me look at the two area. Let's first look at chapter 3. We will be looking at chapter 6. Chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. And what we are looking here, because we'll be looking both on Daniel and on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We first look to see that worship has ever been the test that is, be true or false worship, to prove or test one's commitment to God. Worship is ever the test. Because this morning I mentioned that the Almighty God used not only true worship, but the false worship that you or I might be tempted to engage in, feeling that it doesn't make any difference, God uses that to estimate how we stand with Him. And when we look in Daniel, we notice that it was used to prove or test Daniel's commitment to God. Let us hear verse 3 through verse 6 of the book of Daniel.
Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up.
Mm-hmm.
And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up."
What verse is that, brother?
5.
Okay, go on to verse 6.
"And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace."
Okay, notice this. We must be mindful that however insignificant a child of God may look to us, Satan does not overlook anyone. It's very important that we be mindful of that. The ordinary brother or sister who is a part of the body of Jesus Christ, who sometimes we don't even notice. And sometimes we may feel that Satan doesn't have any use for that person. May I remind you that if that brother or sister, though not noticed by you or me as often as we should, Satan noticed that person. In that person's little world, quiet world, seemingly insignificant world, if that brother or sister is trying to serve God in a sincere way, that person become a worry to Satan. And therefore Satan notices that man or woman. In Daniel was fortunate to have been given top position in the kingdom of Babylon. Step to verse 8 to verse 12.
Verse 8.
Same chapter 3.
"Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews."
Start again.
"Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews."
Mm-hmm.
"They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar,"
mm-hmm,
"O king, live forever." That's end of 9.
No, I said, okay, if I said 9, 8 through 12.
"Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fire furnace."
Mm-hmm. Be mindful that What is in operation here is that Satan is behind the scene working against Daniel.
Yes.
And we must be mindful of that. He is working because Satan recognized the value of Daniel to God's cause and was working behind the scene. Will be using envy and jealousy. The New Testament, if my memory serves me right, I think it, James point out, in effect, that envy is one of the most potent sin there is. And that was at work here. Yes, you were somewhere around verse 9 or 10.
Beginning of 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon.
Right there you get something. There are certain Jews that you have set over the province of Babylon. Daniel had a top job. As far as jealousy is concerned, that's not supposed to be. Those jobs belong only to Babylonian. Verse 12, finish, brother.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm.
These men, O king, have not regarded thee.
Mm-hmm.
They serve not thy gods,
mm-hmm.
nor worship the golden image which mm-hmm. thou hast set up. End mm-hmm. of 12.
Step to verse 16 through 18.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.
Remember, the challenge is false worship. And in many forms, though subtle, we face that challenge today. Many Christians face the challenge of false worship, but in our situation, it's quite subtle. That is, men and women today are not going after idols, as we know idols. It is worship that is passing itself off as true worship. And worship that has some of the semblance of true worship. That's the deception in which you and I live. And be mindful that many religious men and women, many Christians, don't know the difference. They are worshiping. And it's the same Bible they are using. And it's the same God. And all of that. That's the challenge we face. In the time of men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, it was more conspicuous. And thank God at that time. By that I mean, not only in their time, even in the New Testament period, because it was idol worship that Paul encountered in Mars Hill. And by conspicuous, I mean, when a man out there make up an image and tell you that this is God, it was obvious that somebody is being deceived. In our time, it's not that easy for many people who don't know the truth to understand that they are engaged in false worship. That's the challenge we face. And the church must be mindful of that. So in the time of these men, they face this challenge that was quite conspicuous. In our time, We're not going to normally lose our lives because we oppose falsehood. We will be criticized and other negative against us. In the time of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you tend to lose your life, as the passage that the brothers just read here, verse 16 through 18, indicate that if they didn't worship the image built by Nebuchadnezzar, they would be thrown into the fire. They knew that that was no joke. They would be burnt up. What verse you start?
I'm at 17.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Read.
If it be so, our God whom we serve.
This is these three young men responding to the threat. In fact, I think it is that same verse where the king challenged. In effect, I want to see the God that's going to deliver you.
Yes.
It's that same verse?
Yes.
Let me hear. Read it, brother.
If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace.
I want you to notice something here. You and I may never face something like this, but we may face other challenges that come in subtle ways, and many of us fail. There is something, just today it happened that I am almost tempted to share it, but it's something that I probably can share with individuals, because it involves others. Yes, brother.
And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king.
That is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responding. They were threatened with death. Not civilized death. By that I mean not the electric chair. They were going to be burned, thrown in fire. No man or woman wants to die that way. And their response is encouraging and interesting.
That's right.
They are talking to the most awesome, mighty king at that time. And they are saying to the king, the rule you made for all the people in Babylon or wherever, we cannot submit to that rule. And then they say something that you and I must be mindful of.
That's right.
And that is, if it be so, that means if it is God's will. First, they acknowledge that God is able. That's important. If he's able, then shouldn't he? We are taking up for him. Do you know that that's the simple way that sometimes we look on the challenge that we face? We are taking up for God. We know that God has the power. We are expecting God to deliver us. That's not in effect what they said. They acknowledge the might, the power, the awesomeness of God. But you know what I find quite interesting? They give the Almighty God the freedom to be God. This is important. they gave God the right, that is God, to decide whether he, God, will save them or whether he, the Almighty God, will allow his permissive will to have its way. If it be so, we know God is able to deliver us. But if God chose not to deliver us, we are still going to be faithful to God.
That's right.
This is faith. We are to take encouragement from this lesson, example like this, so that as we face the different challenge in life, we, one, don't try to tie God's hand. Very important. Give God the freedom to act the way his Godness dictates. Because brothers and sisters, sometimes we have to realize that our little lives, as important as it is to us, the Almighty God may have an agenda that is much bigger than the lives of millions of us. And we must allow God to have his way, though it might not be the way that we wish God would choose. But we must recognize that God's choosing is always the wise choosing. You had finished verse 18.
But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. End of 18.
Thank you, brother. In other words, these men were prepared to give their lives in a very terrible way when they were challenged by false worship. As I've said, false worship confronts us in many ways, sometimes quite deceptive. In the time of men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, false worship was much easier to detect. Let us not run away from Daniel. Daniel joined the catalog of characters in whom it was demonstrated that worship was the determining factor in showing whether one fails or passes God's test. Worship. It is playing that same role in our time. As we have said, there are many, even this morning, between announcements, I want to point out just before the end of the final prayer what we would be looking at tonight, and that so many Christians who make a choice, I'm not talking about Christian, that something comes up, they might have planned to be here, something might come up. I'm talking Christian who just feel that when they give God a 1.5 or 2 hours in Sunday morning, that's enough them give God. And that may come up in the lesson Sunday morning coming as we target, while other passages going to come, there's one particular passage that we plan to spend some time of in the New Testament. That worship is the determining factor in showing whether one fails or one passes God's test. This time we go to Daniel. We were in chapter 3. This time we go to chapter 4 and chapter 6. Let us start here in chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 4.
It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first.
That the well, I wonder if you get that. You see, is civil servants being appointed in the kingdom. It is striking that of those last few that are mentioned, Daniel was over them. And I think it's going to state why. Okay, you have read verse 1. Go on.
And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents.
This Daniel was preferred above the president. This is the passage that I made a statement some minutes ago, mixing up Daniel with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. This is where we are going to see jealousy and envy at work. Read on.
Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes.
You see, of all the civil servants that were appointed, our appointment comparable to our civil servant, Daniel was preferred. That is, by the royal court, preferred above the others. Read on.
Because an excellent spirit was in him.
An excellent spirit was in him. Among other things, it may mean that the man had an attitude that was just winsome. It may mean that the Almighty God was specially working with Daniel. But he had a different disposition, so that those in higher authority that appoint saw to his appointment felt an attraction to Daniel. Read, brother.
And the king thought to set him over the whole realm.
That's right. But all this, you know, I remind you again that in the same way, I remind you that a lot of times Satan is working behind the scene in respect to the value that he, Satan, might have seen in a child of God that you and I hardly notice. Well, the same way Satan sometimes works behind the scene, the Almighty God we know is always working behind the scene. That is what we call the providence of God. It means God is working behind the scene. Wait. God oftentimes works behind the scene against us. And God often works behind the scene on our behalf. In the ancient world, time of the apostles and Old Testament, God's working was quite conspicuous. You could see the miracle. And our God would send the prophet to tell you what he, the Almighty God, going to do. No, it's not so. One of our great assets is knowledge of what the Bible teach. So that you don't run away with your own idea when something is happening in your life. When you know God, know how he works. So many times, God is working behind the scene for us. And because we don't know it and we are impatient, we take things in our hands and defeat our own interests. Because we don't realize that that job you didn't get is because God has in mind a better job. But a lot of time, because you didn't get that one that you thought you would get, you took things in your own hand and do the wrong things. Brothers and sisters, be mindful that knowledge of God through his word is helpful to all of us. So go on, brother.
Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel.
That's right. That's jealousy, you know. That's envy. What I said, the Bible tells us that wherever you find envy, you find all sort of evil deeds, telling us that envy is a pregnant sin. It does not come by itself. Envy or jealousy carry other sin with it.
That's right.
That's why it is so deadly. And that's what is at play. When Daniel was not doing anything that is wrong, that is evil. He was doing what is right for the kingdom and what is right in the sight of God. But they want to find a way to destroy the man. People work like that today.
That's right.
Are we all there? That's right, at the workplace and other places. People work like that. Read on, brother.
Sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But they could find none occasion nor fault.
Mm-hmm. Watch here now. Read.
For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
It is said that a honest person is usually always predictable. A honest man or woman, you can plan for them sometimes their own evil, their own hurt, simply because a godly, honest person is predictable because of who and what that person is. You can usually predetermine how they're going to respond to that and what they're going to do under certain given situation when the person is honest. When the person is crooked and dishonest, you cannot predict that person because you don't know how they will react under particular situation. But with Daniel, they could predict. They could tell ahead of time that the man would act in a particular way to Daniel's own hurt. But because the man was above board, honest, truthful, honest. Notice what they say again, that last verse that you read.
Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel.
That's right.
Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.
You hear that? You see, these heathen, these Babylonians who didn't know God, they recognize Daniel's faithfulness to God. And they realize that if we are going to destroy this man, isn't it really an evil world? If we are going to destroy this man, it's going to be dealing with him and the law of his God. Did you know that the law of his God is referring to worship here? In a few minutes, I'll show you. Yes, right. The law of his God. That's what we're going to use against him. Jealousy and envy was hard at work in this attempt to destroy Daniel. Read verse 4 again.
Verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
Thank you, brother. Daniel's greatest strength becomes Daniel's sin. The man's greatest asset, his faithfulness to God, became the weapon that they would use to destroy him. Verse 5 following.
I was at 6, but 5. Okay. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God."
Read.
Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree."
You notice, very important that we don't let this pass us. It is a suggestion, a recommendation by the top civil servants here, the former delegation to go to the king. But what they recommend had one goal and objective. And that was to destroy Daniel.
That's right.
There was no sincerity. Yet it sounds so impressive to the king. Do you know that sometime in the church, people sometimes act like that, where a recommendation is made not out of sincerity for the cause of Christ or to enhance the business of the church, but sometimes just to get at a brother or get at a sister? Are we all there? Are we all there? So we must always examine our sincerity before God. When I come suggesting that since Brother Vivian and Brother Bean operate the public address system, let us do this and that for them. When a lot of time what is recommended is not any benefit so much that we want them to get, but we have our own objective to either hurt them, to make them feel embarrassed or whatever, lot of time in the church. Are we all there? Let us make sure that we are always before God pure and sincere. Because this delegation that went to the king and asked the ruler to set up this business where everybody will worship this image. That sounds impressive. You are at verse what, brother?
Verse 7.
Yeah, read on.
All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish.
Remember, you have just listened to the list of top ranking civil servants. All of them. They form a delegation to go and make a recommendation. Now, it would have been impossible for the king of Babylon to see through that unless God revealed it to him. So he would never have dreamt that behind the recommendation they were trying to destroy somebody. Read, brother.
Have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee.
Wait. Are we all there? You see, you all well know the lesson. Worship was one of the mark, the characteristic mark of Daniel, worship. The brother in a few minutes going to read, you know, one of the things that hopefully that will come up in the lesson Sunday is where people, we have a good, healthy discussion few weeks ago, which of the assembly, which of the worship service should I put out effort to attend to? And suppose I cannot attend to the two or three that the church have. And we are trying to negotiate with God as if it were. It's very important that we learn not to find ways to shortchange God. But much more will be said on that. Daniel, read, brother.
That whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions.
May I? I think everyone here, well, are most of you here who have studied this lesson know the story, that this was planned for Daniel.
That's right.
Daniel was a praying man, constantly. And he wasn't afraid or ashamed to let it be known that he prayed to the true God. That was in the midst of the Babylonian idolatrous practice. So they recommend that the king make a law that nobody pray to anyone, ask any god. And you see, for them there were many gods. But you don't have the privilege to go to any of those gods and ask them any favor during that period. Read on.
Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not.
May I? All of this was planned against Daniel. I mean all of it. Read.
Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree, Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks.
Wait. Daniel was not doing something just to irritate them. What the brothers just read was Daniel's practice. That's what the man had been doing for weeks, months, and years. That particular time of the day was set aside for God, for him and his God, prior to God. That was a part of the man's life, the man's conviction. Have you noticed that it's worship? That is, don't overlook the fact that we are on the point where that's what's going to define this man, his faithful commitment to worshiping the Almighty God. That was verse 10?
Yes. He kneeled up on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime.
As he did previously. So it wasn't any jump up thing that he's going to test his enemy. No, that would be insincere.
Yes.
It was the man's practice. Worshipping God regularly, even when it threatened his life. Here again, as we close, we notice that worship became the determining factor in showing whether or not Daniel failed or succeeded in pleasing God. Worship. As I said when I started, God is still using worship to examine us. And it is one of the areas where Christians need to understand how important worship is to us in God's sight and to the Almighty God. Next week, a passage you all know will come up where worship sometimes leaves some of us worse off than before we enter that worship. Paul said it to one of his audience that they were the worse for having engaged in worship. It's not because the worship was evil, but because of that individual worship or lack of worship, or that individual lack of participation in the worship. We will look more in that. But you leave here tonight remembering that worship has been used by God quite often as the determining factor which measure whether or not the Almighty God consider you or me having passed the test for us, or that we fail. If you are here tonight, you are not a child of God, but you have come to worship or to be with us as we worship. You can leave here a child of God. You can leave here a child of God because you believe in Jesus Christ You made up your mind to repent of your sin. You were willing to confess faith in Christ and to be baptized for the removal of your sin. Yes, you can do that tonight.